And a very good evening, and indeed a happy new year to you all. Welcome to the programme. Fionn Davenport here with you on Davenport After Dark. We're going to be with you until 12. Now, coming up on the show, for a lot of people, the new year obviously means another stab at that elusive diet and a better quality of life. But before you start packing celery and single lettuce leaves into your lunch bag, you should consider the findings of a major new study that declare that being slightly overweight, not massively overweight, just slightly overweight, may actually help you live longer. We're going to talk to one of the head honchos at Harvard's Department of Nutrition in just a little bit to see if he puts much credibility in this new theory. And Saturday is the 32nd anniversary of hip-hop's first commercial single, the 14-minute-long Rapper's Delight, whose story has a fair amount of controversy attached to it. You're going to hear that story at about 10:30. And in the second hour, Stephen Benedict, the man in the red velvet chair, takes a look at David Fincher's horror thriller Seven, which was released this week in Ireland in 1995. Kat Hurtline is in the hot seat, as always, for All About Sex. She's going to answer all of your sex-related questions after the news at 11. So if you have a question for Kat, you can text her on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. No names, no judgment, just sound advice. You can also give us a call on 1890 453106. You can find us on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter at Fionn Davenport. But first, in recent months, a number of high-profile suicide cases have captured the attention of the country, with online abuse on various social media sites deemed the largest contributing factor. As a result, some politicians are calling for more stringent legislation to be introduced so as to better monitor possible abuses online. Meanwhile, millions of euro that were originally ring-fenced by the government to hire hundreds of staff for suicide prevention and mental health services have been used to tackle overspending in other areas of the health services instead. So as of earlier this month, 17 out of the promised 414 mental health staff have been hired. So, is legislation for online behaviour a small part of the solution, or is it just a big smokescreen to mask the government's inadequacies in dealing with this major problems? I'm joined now by Joan Freeman, who is the founder of Pietà House, the Suicide and Self-Harm Crisis Centre, and also by Ronan Lupton, who's barrister at law, specialising in media law and e-commerce. You're both very welcome to the show. Joan, perhaps I could start with you first. Do you think that the government is making suicide prevention a priority?
Oh, absolutely not. And at the same time, I don't particularly want to give out about the fact that they're not making a priority, because really the country is in a bad way. We have to be sensible. We have to start trying to pull together. And instead of always criticising, I think we need to see what can we do ourselves, which can make a big difference and an impact on suicide in this country.
Let's outline the nature of the crisis itself. I mentioned in the introduction that 10 Irish people a week will take their own life. And this is the numbers that we're aware of, or at least 10 people. Would that be...
The preliminary figures for 2011 are 525. So if you believe that, you're talking about 10. But you've got to also realise this does not include drownings. There are so many deaths that are put down as misadventure or accidental. So
Car crashes, overdoses.
Yeah,
so
even some hangings.
Right.
So I would absolutely think that we're talking about at least double the amount of suicide.
You think it's double?
I would absolutely think at least double.
How do we rank in European terms in terms of suicide as being a problem?
With youth suicide, we do have a problem. We're the fifth highest in Europe. But overall, we seem to be, you know, sort of towards the bottom of the league. But we also don't accept the fact, or don't even think about the fact, that there's at least 70,000 people a year in Ireland who attempt suicide.
Right.
So when we look at those figures, it puts things far more into perspective.
We're going to get to online media, the kind of the nature, the kind of savagery and the ugliness that gets online in just a few minutes. But before we do, we take it as given suicide has been a problem in Ireland long before there was the internet. I'm assuming the nature of the economic circumstances that we're in now have hastened the problem and made it much worse.
Without a doubt. I mean, even in the 80s when we went through the recession before, suicide rates increased, and it increases in every single country where there's an economic crisis. So we've got to absolutely then realise that people are not suffering from a mental health history. They're actually reacting to a life event.
Right.
And the recession is a life event, just like other, you know, relationship breakup and other things that are going on are life events. So as soon as people start realising that, they will start preparing in time. If we go through another recession again, we should be ready for the people of Ireland.
Am I wrong in saying that the ratio of men to women is 4-1 or more?
I hate to tell you this. Actually, it's worse. It's a lot, lot worse. If we look at even those preliminary figures for 2011, for every one female who died, 12 men took their lives.
Right. 12-1.
12.
And can we generalise about the nature of disturbance that would cause a young man to take his own life, whereupon a young woman might seek help or do otherwise?
Well, the beauty about Pieta House is that we actually have living data. In other words, people who come to us have just attempted suicide but survived, or who are strongly, you know,
considering
have the
it.
So we can ask the question, why are you suicidal? And the findings that we have reflect exactly what, again, which is around the world. There are two main areas for men where they can't cope. One is when there's a major loss, significant loss in a relationship. And the second one is when it's to do with employment. So you can see that, for example, what's happening with the recession, when men are losing their jobs and they're unemployed, is going to have a domino effect, obviously, on their relationship. So there's a double whammy here.
Right. If you have this living data, does online abuse, school bullying, the kind of Facebook bullying that we've read so much about in the last few months, is that a new feature of the symptoms or causes of suicide?
Bullying is always going to be, whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face, it's always going to be a problem, especially for young girls.
Yes.
You know, there's a bit of the dramatic nastiness in young girls at that age, 12, 13, 14 years of age. But we must be very careful not to focus on one aspect or one problem or one issue, because it's usually very complex when a person takes their lives. There's usually many, many issues that has caused them to take that final step.
But yet the media has focused, I'm not blaming the media, but that's the reality is, in the last few months when there's been these high profile cases, the media has focused singularly, almost to the exclusion of all other symptoms, on online bullying.
The problem with the media reporting is that they're telling these dramatic stories, and that in itself can sort of, especially with young people, especially vulnerable young people, give them the idea about this whole aspect of suicide.
We have to be
very careful.
Right. Perhaps I turn now to Ronan Lupton, barrister at law, specialising in media law and e-commerce. There's been talk, politicians are saying, you know, that we need to take some action. They want to be seen to be, and perhaps with all the goodwill in the world, they're saying we need to legislate for better online civility. We need to tackle these kind of anonymous bullies, root them out, and so say all of us. Do you think they have a point?
I think they're trying to deal with the unfortunate events that occurred in and have been reported by the media in recent weeks. And it wouldn't be correct me not to say that these things are terribly sad. They absolutely are. And unfortunately, bullying, whether it be online or physical, has the effect that we've just talked about and that Joan has outlined. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I suppose, for us lawyers, a number of pieces of legislation exist, Fionn, that deal with online and offline bullying and harassment. And one piece of legislation has been in being since 1997, the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act. And that deals specifically with harassment by any means.
I'm seeing Section 10 says that without lawful authority or reasonable excuse by any means, including by use of the telephone,
absolutely,
harasses another by persistently following, watching, pestering, besetting or communicating with him or her shall be guilty.
And further to that, since 1951, the writing or creation of materials which cause gross offence, which are indecent, obscene or menacing, annoying, inconveniencing or causing needless anxiety, has been on the legislature or statute book, and was amended in 2007 to deal with a situation where a photograph was distributed of a schoolgirl, I believe, from 2003, and Comrades commissioners recommended at that stage that legislation be brought forward, and that was brought forward. And the tolls in that piece of legislation are up to 5 years imprisonment and €75,000 fine on indictment, and can be dealt with summarily with a €5,000 fine, 12 months imprisonment. Now, there's a bit of a problem with that, though, Fionn, and I think this is an important point. It deals only with telephone abuse. Now, the government may look at that and say, well, do we need to widen this piece of legislation to deal with online abuse? And I would say yes is the answer. Mm-hmm. However, there is an enforcement problem here. Do the Gardaí have the ability, the technology and the resource to deal with complaints, should complaints start to arise in terms of the volume that we expect that they may on foot of this. And the other point is, should the Oireachtas be actually holding or hosting a committee to investigate such an issue, when the reality is that Minister Shatter has the competence with his officials to bring forward legislation without the need for an expensive round of evidence from perhaps Joan, myself and others who are experts in this area that could cost millions.
Yeah. One of the key elements that has struck a lot of people is the frightening thought that a lot of this abuse is anonymous, that people can hide behind made up names, etc., and so mask their true identities. Is there such a thing as real anonymity online?
My answer to that is no. And the genesis of that answer is from a European directive on data retention, which was brought into Irish law in 2011 in an act called the Communications Retention of Data Act. Now, one caveat goes with that. The police must be investigating offences of a serious nature, which are offences of 5 years, in excess of 5 years in toll arising from the Bail Act. Now, I say that a lot of the offences outlined, as we just discussed, in the 1997 legislation and also in the 1951 as amended in 2007 legislation, fall into that category. So if the police want to investigate something, no matter what you do and where you go online, a footprint is left and it can be traced.
And as former Fianna Fáil TD Chris Andrews found out, much to his cost, is like, you can call yourself Brian, former FF, all you want.
Absolutely.
But you're going to be found out fairly sharpish. So you discovered through an ISP address.
Absolutely. Now, people will make the argument that dynamic addressing, so if I go on in an internet cafe or I go on over dial-up networking, I can't be traced. The reality is you can, because a telephone call is kept, not the content of it, but the actual trace of A to B connection for 24 months. And telecom and internet companies have that obligation under law. And likewise, internet communication, so the IP address going from, again, point to point. So effectively, you can think that you're being anonymous online, but the reality is you're not. And most chat rooms, for example, will have the ability to store server logs and say, well, look, this person who thinks they're being anonymous has caused grave upset. So we want to trace them, and the police will be, a report will be made to the police and the police will follow through on that basis. So the answer to the question is absolutely no. Footprint is left no matter what you do.
But even, Ronan, as you said, even if we didn't have the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act, is there a credible way of enforcing a ban of anonymous accounts on international websites? Because, you know, accounts that are hosted in other countries, for instance. Because, you know, what law is there that can be introduced to actually force Twitter or Facebook or what other social media sites to ensure that all of their users are publicly identifiable, or to certify that once that's done, that everyone is really who they say they are?
Ireland is in a fantastic position that we have a number of those companies you just mentioned as locating their headquarters in this particular jurisdiction. So we are in a very strong position. And news and noise from the state, such as that we're going to regulate social media, something akin to what the Chinese government do, is not great from an investment point of view. But we're not here to talk about that.
No, we're not.
But the reality of it is that we are in a very strong position in European context out of the 27 other member states to do something about this. Now, what I'm not suggesting is law enforcement, but what I am suggesting is perhaps maybe engagement with these companies to say, OK, look, this is going on. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
The reality is people need to be informed. If you have a situation online of a civil nature where you've been defamed or you have a personal injury, be it some form of depression or dissociative state, or you're shocked, take action. Block and report. If a crime has been committed against you or something obscene is being said to you, go to the police. You know, we have civil remedies in terms of Defamation Act and Personal Injuries Acts, but we also have the criminal vocabulary of the law to deal with these issues. Now, you asked about the international situation. Similar to music downloads, if you want to use that by way of analogy, it's very difficult to stop these things, even with court injunctions, because the internet is pervasive. And that's a problem and a challenge we face. Now, do we want to be in a situation like China where every communication packet that goes in and out of this state is monitored? I say no.
No.
The Constitution protects freedom of expression pursuant to Article 40.6.11, and it also protects criticism of government, for example. The government don't like to be criticised, so a number of issues that have arisen again is that the government is delivering hard messages at this stage. So if you hold yourself out on social media, for example, you must be prepared to take the backlash.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, that's fair enough. But I want to go back to Joan here. As Ronan has articulated here, seems that the case for legislation seems unnecessary. The legislation is there. It needs to be enforced perhaps a little more stringently. People need to report more. So I'm asking you, as someone who is an expert in this area, politicians saying that the way we're going to tackle this suicide issue is by legislating, is that a smokescreen? Is it well-meaning but errant? What would your
to
take
me?
On that?
It's just a knee jerk reaction.
Is it knee jerk, or is it like, as we mentioned earlier on, is the HSE is putting its resources elsewhere? It has to. Mm. It's losing money by the bucket load. Mm. It doesn't have the resources that it promised at the beginning of last year for mental health staff. Mm. So is this, we want to be seen to be doing something when in fact we're kind of powerless?
I mean, it sounds very impressive, doesn't it? That we're going to bring in new legislation over cyberbullying, etc. But it is a smokescreen and it is a knee-jerk reaction and it is totally unnecessary. And really the resources should be put into, for example, there were studies there today saying that young children and adolescents are waiting up to 2 years before they can be seen. And that's appalling because young people are so dramatic and impulsive that we don't know what's going to happen within those 2 years while they're waiting.
I was just thinking about the campaign about another rooted problem we have is road deaths. Mm. And the Road Safety Authority have been remarkably successful in bringing the number of road deaths down. Now, we still have far too many that we need. So in terms of suicide prevention, is it a campaign similar with the same kind of resources, the same kind of frontline ad campaign? Do you see, is that the kind of thing that's required?
I certainly think awareness is absolutely crucial because most people, as I said earlier, would see suicide being a mental health issue. It's not. And the awareness needs to get out there.
Explain that a little bit.
Okay. So most people who come to us, for example, and again, our figures reflect what has already been recorded. Most people coming to us have no mental health history whatsoever. They have no psychiatric history. Most of them have never even gone near a mental health, a psychiatrist or even a GP for many of them. So what we're saying is what we see is that they're reacting to a life event. Something very traumatic or something that they're finding very difficult to cope with has happened in their life. Yeah. So everybody needs to be aware of that.
If I could put it in, there's nothing wrong with them per se, other than they're reacting to a situation, a temporary situation, wrongly, as it were.
That's exactly it. Okay. And if you take, for example, one of the big problems with men would be a relationship breakup.
Right.
But you've got to look at the consequences. Not that men are no good at coping with that. You've got to look at the consequences. When a man and a woman break up, the chances are the man has to leave the family home. So he's lost his home. He's lost his shared circle of friends. He's also lost the spontaneous access to children. So within a very short period of time, he's lost everything.
Yeah.
So this is why they react. So, but if you now you know, for example, if your best friend is coming out of a broken relationship, you know that you need to be on alert for him.
All right. Okay. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Joan Freeman of Pieta House, Ronan Lupton, Barrister at Law. And before we do, if you or anybody you know is affected by any of the issues that we've discussed tonight or want to talk to someone, there is plenty of numbers that you can call. You can call Childline 1-800-666-666 or you could text TALK to 50101. Pieta House's number is 01-601-0000. The Samaritans is 1-890-200-091. There's Console, there's iLife, and then there's the HSE. We're going to put all of those numbers up on our Facebook page, Facebook Davenport After Dark, so you'll find them all there. We're going to take some music. It's a new year, so it's all about new beginnings, hopefully. And of course, well, for many of us, nothing endures as much as the hope that no matter what, things will improve. So Let's Change, sing Otis Redding and Carla Thomas. Let's stop putting each other through difficult times, but we'll call it a New Year's resolution.
Let's turn
Otis Redding and Carla Thomas there with New Year's resolution. 53106 is a 30 cent text number if you want to get in touch. Coming up next, the kind of crazy story of the rapper's